that happens in life can happen in a show. You can make them laugh, you can make them cry. Anything, anything can go.
Welcome to your weekend. This is Weekend Showcase, your North State Arts Magazine. I'm Tom Kinney. Tomorrow night, the Chico Community Gospel Choir has a big concert, Sing for Shelter, to raise awareness of and support for the Tories Shelter, serving people in Chico who find themselves homeless. On today's program, we talk with the leader of the choir and with the leader of the Tories Shelter all about tomorrow's event, where you'll get to hear 100 voices raised in glorious song for a cause. Next weekend in downtown Chico, children will get to go on a treasure hunt to find small doors to the abodes of wee supernatural folk. And adults will get to sample several varieties of wine and look at locally produced artwork. It's all part of an event called the Art and Wine and Fairy Doors Walk. We'll be talking today with the coordinator of that event and with one of the artists involved in creating those miniature magical doors. That's coming up over the next half hour here on Weekend Showcase. Stay tuned. First, here's Brian Maul with the North State Arts Calendar.
On stage in Reading at Riverfront Playhouse, in the heat of the night, this crime drama, gritty and racially charged, plays tonight and tomorrow at 7:30. With a 2 o'clock performance on Sunday. Tomorrow, at the Cascade Theater in Reading, the Manhattan Short Film Festival. Reading is just one of 300 cities worldwide to view these short films and vote on which are the most creative. This festival of short-form cinema starts tomorrow at 7:30. One of Chico's favorite art venues commemorates its anniversary with 35 Alive, celebrating 35 years of the 1078 Gallery, an exhibit through October 22nd featuring works by many top local artists. There is a reception tonight from 5 till 7 at 1078, accompanied by live music from the group Cat Depot. James Snidel Gallery displays paintings by Dolores Mitchell. Dreaming of San Francisco showcases Mitchell's bold and colorful jazz-influenced imagery. Gallery hours 9 to 4 Tuesday through Friday and 10 to 2 on Saturday. The Snidel Gallery is on 4th Street, across from the Praying Hands by Chico City Hall. The Janet Turner Print Museum, in the university's just-built Arts and Humanities Building, closes its exhibit, Visual Metrics, Prints and Poetry. The prints exhibited served as inspirations for creative writing students at the university, and their poetry is also exhibited. The final day to see this collection at the Turner, tomorrow from 11 to 4. Tomorrow night at Chico State's Laxon Auditorium, the university honors the late leader of the music department's band program with the Daniel Hiestand Memorial Concert, Stars and Stripes Forever. The Chico State Wind Ensemble opens the evening, followed by the alumni band. And tomorrow's concert starts at 7:30. In Paradise, at Theater on the Ridge, it's your final weekend to see The Veil. In this powerful Irish drama and ghost story, a circle of family and friends hovers between this world and the supernatural dimension beyond. Tonight and tomorrow, the curtain goes up at 7:30. And the play's run ends Sunday with a 2 o'clock matinee. In Marysville, the acting company stages Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat. This lively rendition of the Bible story with music by Andrew Lloyd Webber, will entertain you tonight or tomorrow at 8 o'clock or on Sunday at 2 o'clock. The Center for the Arts in Grass Valley presents the quirky comedy Dead Man's Cell Phone by acclaimed playwright Sarah Rule. Tonight and tomorrow's performances start at 8 o'clock, and the Sunday show starts at 2. That's the calendar for this week. Thanks for listening. The late author and Holocaust survivor, Elie Wiesel, would have turned 88 today. He believed, our obligation is to give meaning to life, and in doing so, to overcome the passive, indifferent life.
Listening here to the Chico Community Gospel Choir, 100 voices raised in song for a cause.
The Tories Community Shelter in Chico. Tory Shelter has a big event coming up tomorrow, and we're going to be talking about that. But first, let's talk with the director of the Tory Shelter, Brad Montgomery. So, Brad, tell us, what is the Tory Shelter and what is its mission?
The Tory Shelter's mission is to help people escape homelessness, to help people end their homelessness and stop the cycle. For example, last month we had a phenomenal month. We had 43 people leave our shelter and move into their own places. Normally we can't keep that pace up, but that meant last month we literally had a success story every 15 hours or so. We serve men, women, and families with children here, and everything that we're about is hoping to help people move forward, escape homelessness, and not need services like ours again. And we're incredibly successful doing it. It is a challenge because there's a number of things that are obstacles and barriers to helping people move forward.
How many people are you serving generally at any one time?
Well, last year, our percentage went up again. I've been here now, the director, for 7 years, and each year I've seen it plateau a little bit higher. This last year, we served an average of 100 people a night. And last night, we served 121 people here. And again, that's men, women, and families with children. Just picture it for a second. Picture if you had 100 people coming over that were going to need dinner, need a place to stay, make sure that they're safe, make sure they get along with each other, make sure that you are creating an environment so that people are thinking about their future and moving forward, make sure that you've got the personal hygiene items that they're going to need. It is quite a challenge. When people think about a shelter, they often think about both the concrete stuff and they think about the sadness and the stories, what has happened to some of these people that we're serving. All of that is true, but anybody who spends any time here realizes that the atmosphere is actually pretty optimistic. That's part of why people get so much help moving forward, and it's pretty amazing. You know, 7 years, and I'm still amazed by what we can accomplish.
Tell me about the event that you are sponsoring that's happening tomorrow night and how you came up with the idea.
Well, the next person who's going to talk is going to actually be the one that came up with the idea, and it's a phenomenal idea. And we're the recipients of this fantastic event that's going to be happening on October 1st. Dan Holmes is the choir director from Bidwell Presbyterian. Dan came up with this idea of bringing together people. It's such a unifying story, and it's a good metaphor for even what we do here. People across different backgrounds, people across different faiths, people across different political ideologies, people across all kinds of different barriers and divisions that we have happening every single day in our lives. And they're all coming together, united to sing for a cause. The music is absolutely beautiful. It's phenomenal. The message is phenomenal. When we get away from some of our divisions, we can accomplish so much, and we can definitely make so much more progress in helping people out of homelessness if we just remember that it's kind of all of our responsibility to do what we can to make our community better.
We're going to be talking with Dan Holmes, the leader of this shindig that's tomorrow. It's a lot of singing going on, 100 voices. What is this event?
Well, the event is called Sing for Shelter. It's a project that I started back in April. I took my core group of singers and asked if they would like to help me form a community choir. So far, we have recruited over 100 people for this event, people that will be singing. We have soloists, we have a cappella music, we have a live band that will be accompanying us, we have a dance team from Full Force Dance Company that's going to be joining us. It's going to be a high-energy gospel concert with gospel music of all genres, from traditional to current modern hip-hop type gospel. Very exciting program. We started rehearsing on August 15th, and we've rehearsed twice a week since then for the last 6 weeks.
And this is all going to be happening at the Dome. That's that church that looks like a geodesic dome that's right outside the edge of Chico.
And ironically, no one is using that dome right now. So it was the first place that came to my mind for having a concert of this size. And for what we want to accomplish in raising funds for the Torres Shelter, it's the perfect venue.
So how long have you been involved in leading a choir?
I've been directing choirs for over 30 years, directing school choirs based on mostly children. I've been directing adult choirs. A lot of that was traditional choir music. It's only in the last 10 years that I've gone to directing gospel choirs. I do a lot of my own arranging, writing things like vocal parts and horn parts. Choir music is just really something that gets me excited.
So what's the age range of this 100-plus community choir that you are directing?
We have people that are from the age of 14 up into their early 80s.
And are the singers, by and large, excited about the fact that they're going to be performing at this venue for the Torres Shelter tomorrow night?
Well, Tom, anytime you get that many people together singing, and singing well, it's very exciting.
Is it hard to get all these people of all these different age ranges and backgrounds into that united sound that you need to have a really good choir?
Oh, yes, it is. But after doing this for over 30 years, I kind of know the tricks of the trade, and I'm really impressed with what we've come up with. The other thing that's really helped is being able to use technology, being able to use YouTube playlists to send out to people, be able to give everybody rehearsal CDs so they can practice anytime while they're driving around, being able to write out the sheet music that they need, writing out the chord charts for the band, writing out the horn parts for the horns. And that's just one of my specialties.
This is gospel music. Do you think that this is a concert that would appeal to people of all kinds, you know, churchgoers and lay people? Is it have a general interest, this gospel music?
I think that it's definitely a specialty type of music. It's the type of music that you see in a lot of movies. It's the kind of music based on rhythm and blues or R&B, hip-hop, music of that type. It's not like Christian music per se, but it definitely has its own style and genre.
What I was so struck by when I heard them performing at the Flash Mob was just how incredibly inspirational it was. I mean, it might not be my primary type of music, but it really touched me. Seeing all those people joining together really choked me up. It was beautiful.
I was deeply upset when I heard the rumors that the Torrey Shelter was in financial trouble last winter. I felt a real obligation to try to do something to help out. I can't imagine all the people that the Torrey Shelter serves being put out on the street. It's just not right.
I understand that this event, Brad, is no charge for people who want to go to it, and yet you call it a fundraiser.
This wanted to be done in a way that wasn't going to exclude anybody. Anybody could come and enjoy it and feel welcome and feel a part of it. There's no cost to come in and enjoy the music, and then we'll be asking people if they want to give, if they appreciate the music, if they appreciate how everything came together and all the entertainment that's being provided, then we hope that people will decide to donate.
Dan, do you think this particular kind of music will make people feel inspired to help their fellow human beings, as the Torrey Shelter does?
A lot of the members of the choir belong to local churches, but not only that, we're talking about people who are giving their voices. People who sing usually are the type of people that like to give, that like to make the world a better place through music and through sharing their gifts. And we have just an incredible amount of talent in this group. We have some marvelous soloists, some fabulous musicians. I believe that just the quality of the music and the quality of the performance will inspire people to want to give to this great cause.
I think a lot of us have probably driven by that gold dome right off of 99 there outside of Chico and just wondered, what is that like inside? I've heard that it's quite a well-equipped facility.
Well, the venue is probably the biggest one in Chico. I believe it holds up to 1,200 people. It has a balcony. It has a beautiful stage. It's just the best place to have this kind of an event where you're going to have a large audience.
And the music starts tomorrow night at 7 o'clock, is that right?
That's right, 7 o'clock.
And just to remind people, you take 99 in Chico and then you head which direction?
Take the Skyway exit and turn right by the Home Depot and keep going straight and you can't miss it.
Well, this is an exciting thing. 100 voices, and it's all for the people of the Chico area and beyond to hear some great music and hold in our hearts the fact that we need to support the Torrey Shelter. Thanks to both of you.
Dolores Mitchell, and I am at 9th Avenue Gallery talking with Cynthia Sexton, who has organized a wonderful, exciting event called Art, Wine, and Fairy Door Walk.
Hi, Dolores. Well, I'm really excited this year. We tried to add a lot of new features to our art walk. This year, we are adding wine. There will be 6 signature members, businesses that will have local wine from 6 local vineyards. We also will have approximately 40 downtown businesses participating, where there will be art from local artists in their windows and inside their businesses. It's a pretty important event for us. This is the second year that I've participated and worked with the Downtown Business Association for this event. We wanted to do some new things this year, so the wine was one of them. And the second thing that we organized was the Fairy Door Walk. Jackie McLean is here, and she will talk about the Fairy Door Walk. I've already run into a few children downtown and told them about it, and they're pretty excited. They're ready and willing to start looking for those fairy doors.
So I'm going to turn around to Jackie, who has a smile on her face because she is making fairy doors.
We've added 9 doors to the 8 doors we placed in downtown businesses last spring. Aaron Wells and Francis Colburn and I have made the doors for these businesses. This project will start with a kickoff on Friday, October 7th from 5 to 8 p.m. Children will be able to pick up a passport at each one of the signature businesses, and then they have the entire month of October to locate 9 out of the 17 doors, fill in their passport, and turn it in to the Downtown Business Association, and their name will go in a drawing for a fairy garden. The doors we have are really quite wonderful. Different kinds of doors. Some of them are very whimsical, almost magical in the way that they're put together. Others are architectural miniatures, and they're very true to architectural form. But they're all delightful, and they're hidden in the store or in the window of the store. So we want to encourage the children 12 years of age and under to find these doors and bring their passport in and get a chance to win a fairy garden.
Well, who doesn't love a treasure hunt? And I'm sure the parents will have a good time as well.
Well, I think so. They're going to get to see all this wonderful art at all of these places and enjoy the wine at the 6 signature businesses. We have wine glasses that have been made with the logo for the Art, Wine, and Fairy Door Walk. They're quite delightful with a little fairy and a glass of wine on them.
Well, this has become something to look forward to, fairy doors. And in fact, tell us a little bit about their history. They started somewhere else.
The first fairy door project I know about is in Ann Arbor, Michigan. In the early 2000s, they began a fairy door project. I thought this would be something very special for Chico, and we did our first fairy door tour at the Chico Art Center in April of last year. The Art Center is coordinating both the Taste of Chico Fairy Doors and the Fairy Doors for the Art Walk, and then next spring we'll have another Fairy Door tour, and we'll be adding more doors. I'm hopeful we'll have about 40 doors around town, with almost half of them downtown.
Well, there's something about a small door that gives you such a sense that you're going to go through this door like Alice in Wonderland. You'll be in another world.
I think so. A lot of people are beginning to put them in their homes for their children. It brings a little bit of magic into the bedroom. Sometimes it's placed there as a tooth fairy door, and sometimes it's just the fact some magic can come in through that door. I know parents who leave presents in front of the fairy doors at their children's rooms as surprises.
What kind of a fairy door are you making?
I tend toward more the architectural doors. I do good wood, walnut, maple, and nice domes on those. I've done for this show a door that's built into a brick wall and has a staircase and a flower pot in front of it.
Cynthia, why do you think that the Downtown Business Association has been so supportive of art?
One of the things that's amazing about Chico is we have a large community of art lovers, and our downtown happens to be a central place for that. There's already several galleries that are in the downtown area to begin with, so this is just an added extension. I wanted to mention, too, so everyone would know where to get their passport for the fairy doors. Our 6 signature businesses are Zucchini and Vine, Vagabond Rose, Diamond W Western Wear, Made in Chico, Formal Education, and Kirk's Jewelers. And that's where the children will be able to get their passports.
We are very fortunate in Chico that we really have a genuine downtown. The downtown area is wonderful for strolling and for taking your time, for savoring what's in these windows. What is your favorite fairy door you can bring to mind?
Well, I have to say, I have a fairy door in my business, and I love it when children come in. In fact, I had a small child outside of my gallery who didn't want to come in. I think he was intimidated. So I went out and I said, you know, I have a fairy door in my business. Why don't you come in and see if you can find it? And you know, he did. He came in and he looked all over until he found my fairy door. And then I gave him a little Prangs watercolor set to take home with him. The fairy door event is just an important thing. It brings together our art and our children, because all of these fairy doors are made by local artists. They all want to make them. That's why all of them are unique and very whimsical. But it also helps children to be into art as much as the fairy door.
Well, you know, it suddenly brought to my mind one of my most thrilling childhood experiences with art growing up in Chicago. The Thorn Rooms in the basement of the Chicago Art Institute. I think there must be 50 or 60 miniatures showing different styles and the tiny little teacups. And there's something about smallness. What do you think?
Well, I think kids are used to everything in the world being bigger than they are. This is something that is smaller than they are, and they can look at it and enjoy it and really fit in with it in a different way than they can the real world, if you will. And fairies are just such a special thing in our culture in terms of what we talk to children in the fairy tales we tell them. This gives them a portal into that world, and they can step in there. I do a lot of fairy gardens as well. My backyard is full of gardens with fairies sitting in them and bunnies in teacups and all kinds of miniature things that kids love to enjoy.
Cynthia, will you just wind it up for us and remind us of the details?
Our opening night is Friday, October 7th from 5 to 8 p.m. You will find wine in those signature businesses along with the fairy door passports for children. All of the local businesses downtown will have green placards in their windows, so it'll be easy not only for children but for adults to know which businesses are being sponsored in this event. We wanted to try to add new elements this year. Not only do we have new elements, but we have new artists as well. Many of our businesses have decided to have different artists in their businesses, and I think we have some really wonderful art for the public to see.
Well, thank you very much, and we're looking forward to one enchanted evening.
And that's Weekend Showcase for this week. We'll be back next Friday at 3 o'clock. And if you ever miss this program at its regular broadcast time, you can hear it online anytime after 3:30 Friday at mynspr.org. As always, we encourage you to enjoy the arts where you live. For Weekend Showcase, I'm Tom Kinney. Weekend Showcase is a production of North State Public Radio.